Well, a boy told his father, "Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a limb that hung over a pond, and one frog decided to jump into the pond, how many frogs would be left on the limb?" Well, the dad replied, "Two." He said, "No," the son replied, "there are three frogs, and one decided to jump. How many frogs are left?" The dad said, "Oh, I get it. If one decides to jump, then the others would too, so there are none left." The boy says, "No, Dad, the answer is three. The frog only decided to jump." Well, we now go on to step two in our biblical process of change. As our opening story illustrated for us, it's one thing to decide to jump, it's yet another thing to actually jump. It's one thing to decide to change, yet it's another thing to actually change. We don't just want to look at our lives and see areas that need to be changed, to see areas that need some spiritual overhauling. We don't even want to just be convinced or convicted that we need to change in those areas. We have met together this morning to actually engage in the process of change. Jesus didn't just come to save us. Salvation is not something that just happens to us when we die. Jesus came to change us, to conform us into His image. Our salvation starts the minute we put our trust in Him. The working out of our salvation in real life is called sanctification in the Bible. Sanctification is that process of becoming more set apart from this world and its beliefs and becoming more set apart to God, following biblical truths in a maturing relationship with God. 2 weeks ago, we studied the first step in the change process. Let's just briefly summarize again that first step. The first step is to put off our old self, to literally take off the old garment of our old way of life, those sin patterns that we've cultivated for years. Each one of us has areas in our lives where we're still wearing the old clothes of our sin. Each one of us has areas where we are still choosing sin over making godly choices. Each one of us has areas in our lives that we need to engage and change. What are they for you? It's helpful in a study like this that you try to answer that question now. Try to focus on that area of your life that God wants you to change. That allows the Holy Spirit through the sermons to be moving in you to help you and equip you to actually engage and change. What is God calling you to change? Put that in your mind and heart. Romans 6 teaches the first step in that change process. It says that we need to consider, to reckon, to take it as a fact that we are dead to sin because our old self was crucified with Christ. 8 times there in Romans chapter 6 it says that we're dead to sin. It is a fact that as a believer we are dead to sin. Sin no longer has any power over us because we have been united with Christ in His death. Our old self has been crucified with Christ. When we came to Christ, He gave us a new nature. He made us a new creation. And when He did that, He broke the power of sin in our lives. Now, we still battle, don't we? We still have a sin nature. We still have this war that wages on within us, as Paul describes himself there in the next chapter in Romans chapter 7. But we no longer sin because we have to. Because a sin nature is not our only nature. We sin because we choose to. We are a new creation. We sin because we decide to live in our old nature. We decide to put back on the clothes of our old living. We decide to follow those sinful habits rather than believing that Jesus has crucified our old nature and given us the power, the responsibility, and the opportunity to live godly lives. In Christ, we are already victors in the war against sin because His death freed us from sin. Romans 6:6 says, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. When sin roars its ugly head in our lives and tries to pull us down. When sin roars prowling through your life to take you down. Through Christ, you can look at your sin squarely in the face and say, I am dead to that. The first step to biblical change is realizing that the sin that you are struggling with has been put to death on the cross with Jesus Christ, and you have been set free. The first step is to consider, to reckon, to take it as a fact that you are dead to sin. You are no longer a slave to sin. That old self has been crucified with Christ. Well, now let's turn in our Bibles again to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll read our passage again as we move on to our second step, renewing of our minds. Starting at verse 20 in Ephesians 4. It says, but that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Today, our focus is that second step, that renewing of our minds. Next week, we're going to look at the third step in the change process, that putting on of the new self. Our specific verse this week is there, verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. To be renewed means to renovate or restore. It's in the present tense in the Greek. The idea here is that the renewing of our minds is not something that was done in the past. It's not something that we wait for in the future. Rather, it is something that we're supposed to be doing right now in the present. The renewing of our minds is supposed to be constant and a consistent reality of a maturing believer. We're always supposed to be renovating the way we think. Well, what does it mean when it says the spirit of our minds? That's an interesting phrase. The spirit of our minds is the philosophy behind our thinking. It's like the broth of a soup. The broth is what makes a soup. Take all the broth out and you just have a pile of ingredients. It's the broth that holds the whole soup together. The spirit of our minds is the philosophy of our thinking. It's what holds our thoughts together. We don't just need to think a few new thoughts. We don't just need a little bit of new information. We need the whole pattern of our thinking renewed and renovated and changed. The spirit of our minds also gives us this direct link to the Holy Spirit. The process of change never even starts in our lives without the work of the Holy Spirit. Our salvation is dependent on the work of the Holy Spirit to quicken us, to convict us, and to point us to the cross of Christ. And our sanctification, our growth to be like Jesus is dependent on the Holy Spirit. Through the filling of the Spirit, as we yield control of our lives to Him, we mature as Christians and we change. The power of our freedom came when Jesus defeated sin. The power of our spiritual growth comes when we yield to and are filled by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that renews the spirit of our minds. It is not our job to become better Christians. It is not our job to somehow, you know, live this Christian life better and better and better. We need constant renovation. But the renewer, the general contractor of our lives is not us. It's the Holy Spirit. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our job is to have Christ live through us. Our calling is to live our lives in an ever-growing, yielding to the Spirit as He transforms us from the inside out, turning us in to an image of Jesus Christ. Makes me think of Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, really, this verse is our biblical change process as a nutshell. Don't be conformed to this world as putting off the old self, being transformed by the renewing of our mind, and doing God's good and perfect and acceptable will is putting on the new self. This verse teaches us that our minds need to be made new through transformation. They don't need a fresh coat of paint. Our minds don't need a spring cleaning. They need an extreme spiritual makeover. Our lives are transformed by the constant and consistent renewal of our minds. From this word transformed, we get our word metamorphosis. As a caterpillar turns into a butterfly, as a tadpole turns into a frog, we need to transform our thinking. Our thinking needs to change in deep and significant, life-changing, foundational, fundamental ways. We need transformation so that we can become the very people that God wants us to become. Well, how do we do that? How do we renew our minds? What are some biblical principles that will help us move from deciding to change to actually engaging in being changed? Well, let's look at four practical ways that we can renew our minds. The first way we can renew our minds is that we need to have an eternal perspective. You know, so often in the midst of challenging moments in our lives, we lose our perspective. So often when we encounter areas of our lives that we know God wants us to change, we focus on the wrong things. So often our eyes, our thoughts are only on the earthly and the horizontal aspects of our lives and not on the spiritual, vertical aspects of life. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." This verse challenges us to seek the things that are above, where Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're challenged to seek a real spiritual, vertical perspective. We're not just to seek it. We're supposed to set our mind on things that are above. We're to set our minds on real spiritual, vertical perspective. The foundation of all of our thinking should come from a spiritual perspective. Why? Because, in fact, our lives are hidden with Christ in those heavenly places. Our old self was crucified with Him. Our new self has come alive because of His resurrection. And as Ephesians 2:6 says, we are right now seated with Jesus in the heavenlies. This world so powerfully and continually pressures us to look at life from simply an earthly perspective. Jobs and retirement and college and sports and school and careers and hobbies and family are all good things. Even important things, even God-given things. But so often they become preeminent in our lives. Instead of, you know, them being blessings by God, instead of them being gifts that God has given to us so that we can honor Him through them, instead of being opportunities to serve God, they become the main thing. They become the first things that we think about and worry about. They become the grid by which we think about all other areas of our lives. They become our highest priority, and we lose sight of the spiritual perspective of life, and we get swallowed up into worldly thinking. You are not your job, but rather your job is an opportunity to serve God. Is the stress of your job getting too much to handle? Then perhaps your perspective about your job is off. Are you looking too much at your job and not enough at your God? To change our thinking, we need to change our perspective to what is actually most important in our life. You know, it's all good things of this life. Happiness and health and security and family. They're all good things. But when they become before the most important things, when they take our perspective off of God's control of our lives and onto the earthly, temporal perspective, our thinking becomes impaired, and we make wrong and sinful choices. To put it another way, as Romans 12:1 says, is your life a living sacrifice to God that is pleasing, a spiritual act of worship to Him? Is your thinking first and foremost about living a holy and acceptable life to God? Are all the aspects of your life, all the good ones and all the bad ones, all the hard ones, are they all on that altar before God, given to Him in sacrificial worship to Him? Have you set your mind on things above? In your thinking, do you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Having a great job is very valuable, but never at the expense of your integrity or relationship with God. Enjoying sports or hobbies or TV is fine, but never at the expense of what God wants for your life. Having a great marriage or family is important, but never at the cost of putting Christ first in your life. The most important focus of our minds, of our thoughts, is to set our minds on things that are above, to set our minds on real spiritual realities. Then everything else, all the other good stuff of life, all those great things that God brings to us, even all the hard things of life, then they all fall into their proper perspective. The first way to change is to change our perspective to an eternal mindset. Another important way to change through the renewing of our minds is to prepare our thinking ahead of time. 1 Peter 1:13-16 says, therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that we brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, so you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This passage also teaches for us the biblical process of change. We're not to be conformed to the passions of our former way of life. That is, we're supposed to put off our old self. We're to be obedient children, holy in all of our conduct. That is, we are to put on the new self. And we're to do that through the preparation of our mind for action. We're to be sober-minded. We're to think honestly and correctly about our circumstances, about ourselves, and about spiritual realities. One of the important aspects of any kind of change is that you have to plan for it. You know that saying that, as it goes, you know, if you aim at nothing, you're bound to hit it. For there to be any substantive change in our lives, we must plan for it. We must strategize how we can, through the power of the Holy Spirit, substantively change. 1 Timothy 4:7 says that we need to train ourselves to godliness. Godliness never comes about by accident. One never stumbles upon becoming more like Christ. At the heart of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is growing in our discipline for godliness. The very word disciple and discipline come from the same Greek word there, to learn. The mission of the church is to make disciples and to teach them all things. That is, to make disciples and to train them, to discipline them to Christ-likeness. The Christian walk is a growing walk of discipline and training and learning. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Following Christ is a day-by-day decision, often a moment-by-moment decision. It takes commitment and dedication and sacrifice. A mature believer is a disciplined believer. Hebrews 5:12-14 puts it this way. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have through powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. A mature believer is someone who is skilled in the Word of God and through training and constant practice has learned how to become more Christ-like. A mature believer is one who is eating the solid food of the depth of God's Word and has a strong, vibrant, healthy, growing relationship with God. Step two of the change process requires us to prepare our minds ahead of time. It requires us to train ourselves, to discipline ourselves to maturity. If you're going to change in that area of your life that God is calling you to change, then you need to make a plan for change. You need to write it out step by step by step. And you need to get the help and the encouragement and the accountability that you need so that those can gather around you and encourage you along the way of this change. You see, godliness doesn't happen by accident. We don't renew our minds by chance. We must train and discipline our lives through the power of the Holy Spirit for real life-altering change to happen. Well, another important way we can renew our minds is to take negative thoughts captive. 2 Corinthians 10, 3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ." You see, our battle for change is not just a battle within us. Our battle for change is not just a physical battle. There is a battle going on. For though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war according to the flesh. We're waging war in the spiritual realm. We are always responsible for our actions. We can never get that excuse, "Well, the devil made me do it." But that doesn't mean we're not influenced by evil forces. The whole spiritual corruption in the world is a daily battle for believers and is greatly influenced by evil. We're going to spend some time talking about this point in more detail and coming up when we study Ephesians chapter 6 and the whole armor of God. But today the point is that evil forces and this worldly system want to invade our minds with thoughts that take us away from the knowledge of God, that take us away from obedience to Christ, that take us away from the joy and the solid foundation of a growing relationship with Jesus. Perhaps your area of change that the Lord is calling you to work on there is being influenced by such negative and harmful, destructive thoughts. Like, "I can't change. I'm a loser. Losers don't change. This is just the way I am. Nobody really cares about me anyway. It's all God's fault anyway. He's the one who made me this way. He's the one who had me grow up in that messed up family. He's the one who let him do that to me. He's the one who didn't protect me. You know, stupid things happen to stupid people like me. I'm not worth it." See, these kinds of destructive and negative and harmful thoughts come into our minds influenced by the evil one, and they are not based on reality. You see, evil wants to take us down. He wants to plant these negative, harmful, destructive thoughts in our mind. He wants to destroy us from the inside out. But God loves us. That's a great place for an amen right there, wasn't it? But God loves us. Amen. And He wants to strengthen us from the inside out. God wants to take all those negative thoughts and for us to take them captive and to turn them over to Him in truth. Focusing on reality to renew our minds, we need to take such thoughts captive to obey Christ. One commentator put it this way: "Spirit-empowered believers must capture every thought and yield it to Christ. An old saying contends that you can't keep the birds from flying overhead, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. When exposed to ideas or opportunities that can easily engage your imagination, you have a choice. You can recognize the danger and turn away, or you can allow those unhealthy thoughts to take you captive. Your thoughts need not control your choices if they are laid before the one who has given us the mind of Christ. You capture your fantasies and desires when you honestly admit them to the Lord and ask Him to redirect your thinking. Ask God to give you the spirit of discernment to keep your thoughts focused on His truth. A very important step in change, in the renewing of our minds, is to ask God to redirect our thinking to focus on His truth, to focus on reality, to take captive those negative and harmful and destructive thoughts that are trying to hinder us from obeying God and enjoying Him. The next important way we can renew our minds is to focus on the Word. You know, when it all comes down to it, God's Word permeating the heart and minds of God's people, and God's people empowered and controlled by God the Holy Spirit, can bring about significant and important life change. When it comes to our thinking, when it comes to renewing our minds, the Bible gives us some really clear teaching, including here in Philippians 4, chapter 8, in this great verse. And it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is anything excellent, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things." For biblical change to happen, we need to focus on biblical realities. First and foremost, we need to focus our minds, our thoughts, on the truth, on reality. And what is the truth? Ephesians 1:13 and Colossians 1:5 says, "The gospel is the word of truth." 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." Jesus, in His amazing prayer recorded for us in John chapter 17, says, as He prays for His disciples, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Folks, there's a lot of angst and debate out there in our society about what is the truth. Folks, there's a lot of pressure in our world today to deny that there is even any truth existing. Well, I stand before you today to proclaim to you on the authority of God's Word that we know the truth, that we have the truth. There is no angst. There is no debate. There is no dispute. We have the truth, and it is God's very Word. It's not the truth according to Pastor Brian. It's not the truth according to some creed. Beloved, we know reality because we know the truth, because God has revealed it to us in His Word. We're not lost and wondering who God is. We know. We're not lost and wondering, what does God want? We know. We're not lost and wondering what the purpose of our life is. We know. We're not lost and wondering, is there life after death? We know. We're not lost and wondering how we're supposed to live. We know. We know because we have the Word of Truth, the Bible, God's intimate and inerrant communication given to us through the Holy Spirit. Beloved, how do we renew our minds? We renew our minds by reading the truth, following the truth, saturating our lives with the truth, living the truth, loving the truth, sharing the truth, being changed by the truth. We have the two most powerful change agents ever known to mankind: God's Word and God the Holy Spirit. What is it that God wants you to change in your life? Start changing today by exposing your problems to the truth. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Oh, may the word of Christ abundantly dwell in each one of us, that we will be able to not only decide to change, but to actually jump, to actually change. Let's pray. Father, we come before you today humbled, truly humbled. The God of the universe, Jesus who died on the cross and rose again, the Holy Spirit who fills us, has communicated with us. We know the truth. We have it. You've given it to us in your word. And we are moved by that. We are humbled by that. We are so thankful that we are not left in this life as a ship without a rudder. We have you. We have your truth. Lord, help us in these challenges of our lives. As the world pressures us and challenges us to try to deny the truth, to try to say that it's not really the truth. Maybe there's a different truth. Lord, help us to recenter our thinking, to recenter our lives, to put our focus on the truth, to renew our minds in the truth of who you are and in your word, and then go about making those changes through the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.